you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. When there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 6, 2026. Oh, listening friend, as we continue stepping into this new year, I want to emphasize this scripture that sets the tone for where we're heading, not just today, but in the days ahead. So let me read it again. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. That verse has been quoted for generations and for good reason. Vision, clear, God-given vision, keeps us from drifting, from reacting, from simply surviving instead of truly living. Let me ask you something as we begin today's broadcast, which will be a message by Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church. But when you look at the future, what do you see? Do you see uncertainty, obstacles, maybe more of what the last season brought? Or do you see possibility, God at work, doors yet to open, grace that hasn't run out? I remember hearing it said once, do you see the clock next to your bed as an alarm clock or an opportunity clock? I thought that's classic. Do you say, good morning, God, or good God, it's morning? Do you see uncertainty, obstacles, maybe more of what the last season brought? Or do you see possibility, God at work, doors yet to open, grace that hasn't run out? The truth is, many of us don't struggle with lack of information. We struggle with lack of clarity, and that's why today's message is so timely. We're going to hear from Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church, as he begins a message titled, Seeing Your Future with Faith, Not Fear. Rick walks us through what scriptures teach us about vision, how unclear vision leads to indecision, division, and eventually collision. And he reminds us that how we see the future determines how we step into it. This isn't about positive thinking. It's about biblical seeing, learning to look at life through the lens of faith instead of fear. In just a moment, we'll begin part one of this message. It'll run today and on tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And so as you listen, I encourage you to do something simple but important. Pay attention to what resonates. Where do you feel nudged? Where does God quietly say, this is for you? Let's begin today's message with an open heart and listening ears. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
As we start this new year, I want to begin on clarifying God's vision for your future. So I'm going to teach a short series on vision, the power of vision. And I'm super excited about that. But one of the stories we'll learn from Acts is the results of Paul giving his testimony, a courtroom testimony to King Herod Agrippa, an official of the Roman Empire. And Paul explains how Jesus transformed him from being a religious terrorist who was out murdering Christians to becoming a Christian missionary. That's a pretty big U-turn. And he details the vision for his life that Jesus gave him, and then he concludes by saying this. In Acts chapter 26, verse 19, he says, so King Agrippa, this is the guy he's talking to, he says, I have not been disobedient to the vision God gave me. I have not been disobedient to the vision God gave me. In the Message paraphrase, Paul says it like this. What else could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. So I obeyed it. Now I want you to listen. As your pastor who loves you deeply, I want to help you, particularly in this new year. I want to help you get to the place that you're able to say the same thing one day when you stand before God to give an account of your life. I want you to be able to say to God, I fulfilled the vision that you gave me for my life. That's why we're going to do this mini-series. You can't fulfill your life vision, of course, until first you see it, and then you understand it. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, what does that mean? Well, there are at least three results of not having a vision for your life. I want you to write these down. An unclear vision leads to three things. It leads to indecision, it leads to division, and it leads to a collision. First, an unclear vision leads to indecision. Do you remember this verse from our study of James, James chapter 1, verse 8? Double-minded people can't make up their minds. They waver back and forth in everything they do. Without a vision for your future, you're just drifting. You wander. You ramble through life. You're not really living. You're just existing. You don't have any goal or purpose or plan or meaning. You just kind of let life happen to you. I don't want you to do that. When you don't have a vision, you waste time and you miss opportunities. You don't make the most of what you've been given. And without a vision, you're a poor steward of life. You end up just coasting, and you know when you're coasting, you're always headed downhill. So it causes indecision. Second, an unclear vision leads to division. Division. It causes people to go different directions in different ways, to be divided on things. If you aren't sure where you're headed, don't expect anybody else to go with you or to marry you or to agree with you or to partner with you. Because everybody's just going to head off in a different direction because no one has a clear path. You know, this lack of clear vision is one of the causes of all the division in America right now. Here's an interesting verse from Proverbs 28, verse 2. In the Message, it says this, when a country is in chaos, everybody has a plan to fix it. Okay, they're all going in different ways, different directions, division. But it takes a leader of real understanding to straighten things out. Vision is the answer to division. The third thing that happens when you don't have a clear vision for life is a collision. In other words, without a clear direction for your life, it is inevitable that at some point in your life, you're going to crash into some kind of dead end. And, you know, for many people, when you think about it, I've met a lot of people, life's just a series of collisions, relational collisions, confrontations, financial crashes, personal crisis, just one after another. They go from one dead-end relationship to the next, or from one dead-end job to the next. Life's kind of like a bumper car ride. You just keep bumping into everybody else, and you get hit from all sides. Now, the Bible warns us of the damage of not following God's vision for our lives. 1 Timothy 1:19 says this in God's Word translation. Some people have refused to let their faith guide their conscience, and their faith has been destroyed like a wrecked ship. That's a collision. On the other hand, having a vision for your future requires hard work. That's why a lot of people don't have one. It requires faith. It requires thinking. It requires prayer and seeking God, all the things we're going to talk about in this series. If you just make up a vision for your life, well, that's no better than coasting. What you want is God's vision for your life. And that is the result of seeing things clearly, seeing with eyes of faith rather than eyes of fear. We're going to look at that today in just this introduction message. You know, in the Bible, Jesus has a lot to say about your vision, about how you see things, and about blindness. In fact, in the Bible, blindness is always a metaphor for having a closed mind. When he talks about people who are blind, he's talking about their minds are closed. They're not open to new ideas. They're not open to what God wants to say. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 is a verse we'll come back to in this series on vision, because Jesus said this. Listen closely. Look at this verse. Your eyes are the lamp of your body. And if your eyes are open and good, your whole body will be full of life. Light. But if your vision is bad, I just got new glasses. I've got good vision again. If your vision is bad, your whole life will be full of darkness. And he says, And he says, if the light that you think you have is really darkness, it's the worst kind of darkness you can have. Now, Jesus is saying that if you don't really see things clearly, correctly, truthfully, you may think you're living in the light, but you're not. You're really living in the darkness. And you're missing all the wonderful things that God has in store for you, for your future, because you just can't see it. Now, we've all heard the expression, what you see is what you get. And in many ways, that's actually a biblical statement. We're going to look at the implications of that idea through many scripture verses during this series on vision. But what I want to do today is just introduce a series on God's vision for your future. And I want us to go back to a story in the Old Testament that involves Moses and the Jewish slaves who'd been freed by God from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Now, here's the background of the story. We're going to look at Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. Here's the background. In the book of Numbers, God had promised these freed slaves a homeland of their own. And he calls it the Promised Land. I'm going to set you free from Egypt, and I'm going to take you to the Promised Land. It represented their future. It represented their inheritance that God wanted them to enjoy. It would become the land of Israel. Now, after crossing the desert, they've gone through the Red Sea, crossing the desert, all these freed slaves, they come to the edge of the Promised Land, and Moses chooses 12 representatives, one from each of the 12 tribes, to go ahead of everybody else and spy out the land. And he says, I want you to go in, check it all out, and return with the vision report. This is a fact-finding mission. In other words, it's a vision trip. And Moses says, go into the new land that represents our future and find out everything you can, find out what it's like, see everything you can see, then come back and report to us on everything you have seen. This is a vision trip. Numbers 13, 17 to 20 says this. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the new land. Go northward through the Negev into the hill country and see what that land is like. And find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? Do the towns have walls? Are they unprotected? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Enter the land boldly and bring back samples of the crops you see. If you're taking notes, circle that phrase, you see. Now, why did Moses do this? Because Moses was a great leader. Why did he send these spies on a vision trip and ask for a report? Here's the reason. Listen to this. If you're a leader, this is really important. Before people can succeed with a goal, they have to see the goal. If you're a leader, you need to understand that. We can only accomplish the impossible if we first see it in our minds. Everything that's ever been accomplished in history started as an idea in somebody's mind first. You have to imagine it. You have to see it. Sometimes you have to taste it, but you definitely have to visualize it. And that's why I'm going to teach you, as the beginning of this year, a new series on getting God's vision for your life. Now, Numbers chapter 13, verse 21 to 23 says this. So they sent spies in. They spied out the land all the way from the wilderness up to Hebron. And there they saw, circle that word, they saw the Ammonites and the Shishites and all the Talmites. All the families descended from Anak. Now, by the way, don't confuse these tribes with the termites and the parasites and the satellites and the stalactites. Those are different tribes completely. But it says when they came to Eshcol, they cut down a cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it back on a pole. Can you imagine that, a cluster of grapes? They also took samples of pomegranates and figs. This promised land was so fruitful and so incredibly prosperous. They're bringing back giant fruit. You know, I grew up in Northern California, in the redwoods and in the wine country. And as a kid, every season, I cut grapes in vineyards at harvest. But I never saw a cluster of grapes so large that it took two men to carry it. This is supernatural. This is miracle growth crop. Numbers 13, 25, 26 says this. After seeing, there's the word seeing. This is a vision trip. After seeing the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron, and the people of Israel waiting at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen, and they showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. Now, all this sounds really promising, but there's a problem, and it has to do with their vision. That's why we're sharing this story. Two of the spies, there were 12 spies, two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, looked at their future with eyes of faith. But the other 10 of the 12 spies looked at their future with the eyes of fear. And I want to contrast that today. Are you looking at this new year with eyes of fear or with eyes of faith? Are you looking at this new year with fear or with faith? Are you expecting more of the same? Are you expecting God to do something great in your life this new year? How you see this year will make all the difference in the world. And this story shows us what happens when your vision of the future is based on fear instead of faith. Okay, so let's get into this. Now, you know the story. Looking at the future with fear, which 10 of the 12 spies did, causes all kinds of problems. In fact, this story illustrates, five or so of the traps, maybe six, that we fall into. Why don't you write these down? Here's what happens when you look at the new year or you look at the future with fear instead of faith. Number one, we learn from this story, I overemphasize the negative. When I look at the future in fear, I overemphasize the negative in life. Verses 27, 28, it says, this was their report to Moses. We arrived in the land you sent us to see, and it is indeed a magnificent country. The land flowing with milk and honey. Here's some of the fruit as proof. But, now circle the word but, because now once you get to but, you're going to see with eyes of fear. Here's the conflicting information. But the people living there are powerful, and their cities and towns are fortified, and they're very large. And we also saw the Anakim, the descendants of Anak, who lived in the desert. Now, the Anakim were of the tribe of Skywalker, and the force was strong with them. if you believe that, I've got some land to sell you, too. When you overemphasize the negative, it creates a lot more stress in your life. When you're looking at everything with fear, you worry that the glass is always half empty instead of being happy and grateful that the glass is still half full. Look at what you have left, not what you've lost. Now, of course, life is filled with negatives. Everything is broken by sin on this earth. Not all news is positive. But you do have a choice in choosing what you're going to focus on, what you're going to emphasize. And that is going to directly affect your happiness in this new year. So the spies brought back conflicting news. Two of the spies had eyes of faith, and they gave positive news. Okay, but 10 of the spies had eyes of fear, and they delivered negative news. By the way, I think that ratio in news is probably still true today. For every one positive news story, you're going to hear five negative news stories. And experts tell us that negative news spreads about 10 times faster on social media than positive news. So I focus on the negative when I'm looking with eyes of fear. Number two, second trap. I pay too much attention to what other people are doing. I pay too much attention to what others are doing. Numbers 13:29 says this. They're focusing not on the beauty and the value of the land. They say the Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan River. What are they saying here? What's the point? It's a scarcity mentality. What they're saying is there won't be enough for us this year. All the good land is already taken by other tribes. There's really no room for us in this promised land. There aren't enough resources for everybody. We heard a lot of that this last year. Panic buying during the pandemic. There's not enough. Everybody's trying to get it for themselves. Why did God bring us here? Now, if you look at this new year with eyes of fear, you too are going to develop a scarcity mentality, which is going to create stress in your life. Like there's not enough. And say, all the good experiences are gone. All the good jobs are already taken. All the good houses are already bought. All the good husbands are married. You're going to look around as a scarcity mentality. No, you got to look with the eyes of faith. Number three, third trap that we see from this story, when we look at the future with fear instead of faith.
Okay, that third trap and others will be looked at tomorrow as we continue with Pastor Rick's message, Seeing Your Future with Faith, Not Fear. What a strong beginning, and we're just getting started. If you're like me, that message stirs both reflection and anticipation. Reflection because it forces us to ask how we've been viewing the future. Anticipation because it reminds us that God isn't finished and He never wastes a season. One thought that really stands out today is this simple truth. An unclear vision leads to unnecessary struggle. Pastor Rick reminds us that without vision, we drift. Without vision, we divide. Without vision, we eventually collide. And yet, God doesn't leave us guessing. All throughout Scripture, vision begins when people choose to trust God's perspective over their own fears. We saw that with Caleb and Joshua, two voices of faith in a sea of fear. Same land, same facts, very different conclusions. That's an important reminder for us today. Faith doesn't deny reality, it interprets it differently. If today stirred something in you, don't rush past it. Sit with it, pray through it. Ask God the simple question, Lord, where have I been seen with fear instead of faith? Tomorrow we'll finish up this message with Pastor Rick Warren as he takes us deeper in what it means to develop a God-given vision that steadies us and moves us forward. Until then, remember this, God always sees what's ahead of you and He's not anxious about it. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.